Okay, good morning, everyone. Hope everyone's doing well. Today's daf is daf tzadi hey. So we got to the last few lines of tzadi dalet amud beis. The Gemara says that v'chein ha godelus v'chulei. We were talking about the other day the Mishnah about women fixing their hair and braiding their hair and coloring their hair, coloring their face, all various malachas. So the Gemara now is analyzing what were the various violations of these particular things listed in the Mishnah. So again, we had godelus, kocheles, pokeses. So godelus, we said, was braiding. Kocheles was putting some type of eyeshadow around the eyes. And pokeses, we said, was blush of some sort. So the Gemara says, now again, last few lines of Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis, godelus, kocheles, pokeses, umishim mai mechayev. What malacha is one liable for when doing these malachas? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abin, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Godelus Mishim Oregis. A woman who braids her hair is Chayv Mishim Oregis, like weaving a piece of clothing, weaving a shirt, that's like weaving hair. Kochelus Mishim Kosevis, a woman who colors her eye, that's like writing. And Pokeses Mishim Tove, and one who does Pokeses is not blushing, like I said above, it's some type of fixing of the hair. So Pokeses is spinning a thread. So to somehow spinning the hair would be the violation here. So the Gemara explains now that, just look at Rashi one second. Rashi says, Mishum Kosevis, Shemolicha Mikchol Saviv Ha'ain, Kadam Hamolich Kolmos Saviv Ha'os. Just like you kind of put the, when you make a letter, you draw the outside of the letter, then you fill it in. So too, by drawing around the eye, that's like writing. So these are the three malachas at hand. Next Rashi says, Tove, as Shemetakenes Sara, she fixes her hair, Bein Etzba Eseha, she kind of rubs her fingers through her hair, Boshatasa Kishi Nichach, and she kind of spreads her hands, her fingers, while in the hair to untangle it. That's the violation of a tove, of spinning. So the Gemara says, after establishing what the malachas are for each of these three, the Gemara says that, Amar Rabban Kamed Rabbi Abo, V'chi Derech Ariga B'kach. Is this the way that one weaves, one braids hair, like weaving? V'chi Derech Ksiva B'kach. Is that a normal way that a person writes? V'chi Derech Tevia B'kach. That's how one spins? So these don't seem to compare at all to these violations of Kosevis, Regis, and Tove. So El Amar Rabbi Abo, L'didi Mefarshili Mina, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanin, it was explained to me that really Kocheles, when you put on makeup, that's Kocheles Mishim Tzovas. It's a violation of coloring something, coloring the skin. That's Tzovas, Tzovea. And Godelus Pokeses, when braiding and untangling the hair, that's Mishim Bona. That's because of building. That's a violation of Binyan. So asks the Gemara, V'chi Derech Binyan Bekach, is that the normal way to do Binyan, to build a person's hair? That's called a binyan. So the Gemara says, "V'chiderach binyan mekach in." It is k'dedarish Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. Vayiven Hashem elokim es hatzela. When Hakadosh Baruch Hu was building Chava from the rib of Rav Adam, it says he built her. So we see clearly that building does apply to Adam. Milame, we learn from here, that Shekila Kadosh Baruch Hu lechava, that Kadosh Baruch Hu had woven the hair of Chava, Vivia Eta Adam, to bring her in front of Adam, Shekain Bekar Chayam, because they would say overseas, Karin Lekliyasa Binyasa, weaving hair, braiding hair, would be considered building. That's how they would explain Kar Chayam overseas. So yes, we do have Binyan by people, Binyan by Chava, and Binyan by hair as well. So it becomes an interesting thing. At the end of the day, there seems to be an issue of girsa that when we said kocheles, putting eyeshadow on, although the Gemara here says mishim tzoveya, the Rambam holds is actually mishim kosev. So there's a debate to how to read the Gemara in the Maskano. And the Sniper wants to know, what is the difference? How come we don't say every single time there's kosev, there's tzoveya, and while every time there's tzoveya, there's kosev? Don't these two things only have to be applicable in every single case? So it gives two explanations as to the distinction between tzoveya and kosev. So he says that when it comes to tzoveya, covering the eye, tzoveya is in terms of appearance, and ksiva is in terms of yediyas, a knowing, facts, information. So coloring a face, there's no information being processed, being relayed over, so it's not ksiva. Ksiva is when there's information without necessarily making something more pretty, and tzoveya is making something more beautiful without there of relaying any information. That's his first chilek he makes. And the next thing he makes is tzoveya, coloring is affecting that which it's on. It's making the paper now something new, something more colorful, something pretty. But writing is the opposite. Writing, the paper is an ikker. It's the letters are the ikker. That's another distinction that the Stipler, in fact, makes. Now, going on the piece of a binyan, when it comes to there is, it's shaykh to have building when it comes to human beings. So the Meiri points out that even though we say ain binyan vestir by kalim, by utensils, movable objects, we don't have binyan vestir. So there's no binyan vestir by adam either. When the Gemara says there's binyan here, it's only an iser midrabanan. Just like it's asa midrabanan to build certain kalim that are more permanent and more attached, you can't do it only on a midrabanan level. Here too as well, when the Gemara says there's binyan by adam, it's only an iser midrabanan. Now the Avnei Nezer says further, he agrees to this point. Avnei Nezer points out that he really thinks this is actually a machlokas in the Rishonim, where the binyan applies to Adam. Where do you find such a machlokas? So there's a discussion, the Gemara and Ksubas and elsewhere. We saw this even in the first parak of the Masechta, when it comes to mapis mursa, a person pops a zit. So what's the violation there? You're making a pe, you're making a pesach, an opening to allow the pus to come out. So Rashi and Ksuba says, and that's a violation of bone building, because binyan applies even to Balei Chaim. So we see Rashi holds that binyan does apply on a Daraisa level, while the Rambam says when it comes to Mapas Mursa, making a peh, making an opening, is a violation of Makeh Bepatish, not Bona. So the Avnei Nezer points out there is a Machlokes Rishonim, whether or not binyan applies to Balei Chaim, to Adam, Midaraisa, or only if it's Midirabanan. Okay, let's go back to now. The Gemara says as follows, that Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer, Godelas Kocheles Bokeses L'atzma Pturif. If she does it for herself, she's actually Patut Patav al Asr. But if she's doing it to her friend, braiding her hair, fixing her hair, putting a makeup on, she's actually Chayeves. There's a difference to yourself, you're Patut, to someone else, you're Chayev. V'chein haya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer, Mishim Rabbi Eliezer, Isha lo Savir, Srak al Paneh, Bipnei Shutzavas. A person, a woman, should not put some type of Srak, some type of coloring material on her face, because in doing so it's going to color. She shouldn't put blush on the face, because doing so it's going to dye the skin. So I'm not sure what the Tani Amihachi is, but the Chein Haya. But either way, in the beginning of the Brice, we see that one who does it to themselves is Pater, one who does it to her friend is Chayv, and that's for an obvious reason, as the top Rashi points out here, La'atzma Ptura, Sheina Yichol Livnos Yafa. When you do your own hair, you braid your own hair, it doesn't come out as nice as opposed to someone else doing it for you. So doing it to yourself, since it's not a really nice binyan, it's Pater Val'asr. The way it's properly done is when you do it to your friend, then it comes out very nice, and that's a nice binyan. So that's an important distinction. It should never be done, but either way it's asr, but one's a chayv chatas, one's only pater aval asr. Now, Rabbi Shimon here in the Gemara has been quoted as saying you should rub blush on the face because that is considered coloring. So there is an interesting Magid of Ram who talks about eating strawberries, whether or not that's going to be a problem of coloring your face. Coloring your lips, because eating strawberries very red, or perhaps certain ices and certain candies can make your lips very red. Is that going to be a problem? So the Magid Ram says, no, by a man, that's mutter, because ein darcho, men don't color their lips. But by an isha, he says, that's darcho bakach, and therefore by eating food, eating strawberries, that would be a violation of tzaveh. That's what the Magid Ram says. But the Shaar Tzion says he doesn't think that's true, because since only women blush their skin, they don't do it on their lips, it would be allowed. In the end of the day, women also put makeup, they put lipstick on their lips, but since that's not a normal way to put makeup on, to put lipstick in, the posts understand that women, of course, may have strawberries and the like on Shabbos and need not be worried about it coloring the lips. The Gemara now says further, Tanur Abban of the Braisa says that HaCholev, HaMechavetz, when it comes to Cholev, when it comes to milking, HaMechavetz is when you, it's called coagulating, when you allow a certain part of the milks to separate from each other. And if you look at Rashi's HaMechabe Tamamid HaChalav B'keva, you let the milk kind of set in the keva and it allows it to solidify and begin to separate different parts of the Mechalav from the Nisyone, the whey. The whey and the, I forget what the other part is called, I'm sure Ezra is going to text me, the different parts of the milk, that would be a mechabitz. Hamagabin is to make cheese, to build cheese. Kigogeris is shiv kogageris. Hamechabed, a person who sweeps the house. Hamarabitz, a person who mops the house. Harod de chalas dvash, shagag b'shabbos, chayv chatas, a person who removes, which extracts the honeycombs on Shabbos. All these are going to be chayv chatas, all for different reasons, though. It's just a list of things that are us on Shabbos. If you do this on Yantif, hazed by Yantif, the din is loke arbam divrei Rabbi Elazar. One gets malchus for doing so. There is no chayv chatas on Shabbos. There's no on Yantif. Rather, it's a violation of malchus on Yantif. So the Gemara says that's all the Rabbi Eliezer and Chacham Omrim Echad Zev Echad Zev. All of them are Einu Ela Mishum Shvus. Whether or not it's on Yom Tov, whether or not this is on Shabbos, it's only going to lead to a Shvus. So we'll have to see. It's a lot going on here. We're going to analyze each of these pieces from the Gemara. But that's the long Brisa. So just one point here. The Gemara had said that the person's road to chalos, the dvash shaga b'shabbos, a person removes the honey gum from Shabbos, he's going to be chayv chatas, and if you do this on Yom Tov, b'mezid you get malchus. So Tosfos on the side there, dibur maskel harode, the chalos dvash asks, tema l'ri, am I loke? Why you get loke b'Yom Tov? The Rebbe Elezer, Rebbanan, nami lo plihi el mishim delo tishbi chashvi la melacha. So he goes on to a whole discussion here, that in the end of the day, on Yom Tov, shouldn't this be considered a Ochal Nefesh, and that which is Ochal Nefesh is Mutar on Yantif. So why do we get Malkus for removing the Chalos Dvash on Yantif? So Tosos all the way in the bottom, he answers, if you look at the last few narrow lines of that Tosos, he says, Omeri, Dika Lokme, Birode Samech Lechashecha Delo Chazi Turlo Arurchen. It must be a situation where it was extracted so close to the sunset, so close to the ending of Yantif, where there's no time to feed any guests, so therefore practically one would not be able to benefit from it. That's why it wouldn't be allowed. But earlier in the day, on Yom Tov, it would be allowed. Or Inami, alternatively, Tosa suggests, Bidvash Shehidvish was honey that went bad, that was sour, that was inedible. Oh, Asir B'Hana, Dilo Chazi L'Achila. Or some instance where someone Asir the Hana, so therefore practically you can't benefit from it. These are the three different scenarios whereby it would not have Ochal Nefesh. But if it would be a regular scenario where there would be Ochal Nefesh, then it would be permitted. Okay. The Gemara says, Vayter now, Rav Nachman Bar Gurya Ikle Linarda. One time he visited Naharda. And by Munei, they asked him, Cholev Mishum Mai Mechaev. What would the violation, which malacha would Cholev milking a cow or a goat or any other animal be under? So Amar Lu, Mishum Cholev, it's a problem of Cholev. So he just didn't really answer which malacha. Mechavitz Mishum Mai Mechaev. Amar Lu, Mishum Mechavitz. Megavim Mishum Mai Mechaev. Amar Lu, Mishum Megavim. So he didn't really answer which malacha. He just kind of repeated what was being done. Answered which of the 39 malachas are each of these chayv, and he didn't really answer that question. So Amar Leba Rabcha, they said your Rebbe is Katal Kena Ba'agma. He just places reeds in the swamp, which is a nice way of saying he doesn't know what he's talking about. So Asa Shal Be'Majash, they asked the base Majash the answer to which malacha each of these fall under. And Amar Leba, they asked him Cholev Chayv Mishum Mefarik is Mefarik. What's Mefarik? So Rashi says Mishum Mefarik Masrei. It's like removing a unloading a back of an animal, and Shaparik Ochel Mimakom Shet Niskasebo, you are removing a food from the place that it's completely enveloped in. Havi Tolda Dadash is a Tolda Dash. This is a subtle point in Rashi. Rashi and Rabbeinu Chanan back in Ayin Gimel had Machlokas to the definition of Dash. Rashi, in every place, he quotes Dash and Mefarik, which is a Tolda Dash. He always talks about uncovering it from that which it's miskasid, that which it's covered from. Rabbeinu Chanan always focuses on that which is Mechuber, that which is connected to, even though it's not fully covered. So Rashi's focus about covering and uncovering, and Rabbi Nachman has some type of a mechuber. So Rabbi Nachman has to explain why this differs than that of kotzer, but there are differences because kotzer is when it's in its life source, when it's attached to the ground. But here, when the dush is no longer attached to the ground, it's still connected to its shell. So that for Rabbi Nachman would still be a violation of dush. So either way, extracting the milk from the cow, from the goat, from the animal, that would be a violation of mefarik, tolda of dush. So then the Gemara says, Mechabetz Mishum Borer. Mechabetz is separating the different elements of the milk. That would be a violation of Borer, separating Ochel Mitoch Psolas. And Megabin is making cheese, building cheese. It's Chayv Mishum Bona. Building cheese would be the Malacha at hand with respect to cheese. So the Gemara then says, V'hamechabed v'hamerabetz harod dechalos dvash shagub Shabbos chayv. One who sweeps, one who mops, and one who removes the honeycombs on Shabbos is Chayv Chadas. If hazed b'yamtif, v'loke barbam. That's all the Rebbe Eliezer. So I'm a Rebbe Elazar. My time at the Rebbe Eliezer. What was the reasoning of Rebbe Eliezer? The Chassid, he quotes the pasuk that appears in Shmuel Aleph. It says, "Bayitpol also bayaras hadvash." He dipped it in the forest of honey. V'chima inin yar etz advash. Honey doesn't come in forest. What does that mean? Yar advash. Lo melcha to tell me my yar hatolish mimenu b'shabbes chayv chatas. Just like a forest or a tree of a forest, one who pulls it out would be chayv chatas, a violation of kotzer. Af chalos dvash. Harode mimenu b'Shabbos chayv chatas. One who removes the honeycombs on Shabbos would be subject to a chayv chatas as well. So now it would seem pashut pshat that what would the mlacha be? It doesn't say which mlacha one is violating in chalos dvash. Is it kotzer yar? Removing a tree from the ground is kotzer. Would that also be the violation of dvash as well? So the so Rashi earlier had said it's chayv mishum tolish. It's a type of detaching something from its life source. Yushalmi clearly says that it's a chayv mishum kotzer. So fine. So now what comes out really interesting is that the Yushalmi, when it says that yuchayv mishum kotzer with respect to removing the chalas dash, it also says when it comes to choliv, milking an animal, that's also kotzer. Now that's very, very strange. It's mishum kotzer. Well, our Gemara says it's mefarik. The Bavli says milking is mefarik. The Yushalmi says cholev is a violation of kotzer. So the Dvar Avram points out here must be that the understanding of the Yushalmi of kotzer is not removing something from its life source. Kotzer typically is when you remove a tree from the ground, the fruit from the tree, that's removing it from its life source. But milk, removing it from the cow, that's not a life source. The milk isn't alive. So how can you even say kotzer by milk? So the Dvar Avram points out they have very different definitions of kotzer. That according to the Yushalmi, kotzer is removing it just from its where it was initially, that which it was connected to, tam tabet b'chibur, and according to the Bavli, it's a definition of its life source. But the Achron point out, but wait a second, the definition of the Yushalmi of kotzer is whenever it's mechubur, that which is connected to it. Since the milk is connected to the cow, to the udder, it's a problem of kotzer. But the Gemara Yushalmi agrees that when you remove a fish from the sea, that's also kotzer. But the fish isn't connected. It's not mechubur to the water. It's not like the milk is connected to the animal. Milk is connected to the animal, but fish is not connected to the water. So what that Chorim explained is that according to the Yushalmi, kotzer is whenever you have removing something from its makom gidula, where it grew. Lav dafka where it's alive, but where it was developed. So just like milk develops in the udder, and so too a fish develops, grows in the sea, whenever you move something from its makum gidulo, that would be a violation of kotzer. Well, according to the Yushalmi, according to the Bavli rather, kotzer is only where you move something from its chiyus, from its life source. So fish is a life source, so that's perhaps kotzer. But to remove milk, milk is not alive, milk being extracted from the udder is not a violation of kotzer. Okay, the Gemara says Vayter now, that last two narrow lines on Amun Aleph here, Amemar, Shari Zilcha b'mechuza. So what does that mean? So Rashi explains, Zilcha is l'rabbe tabayis. He permitted one to pour water in the house, Ritzvas avanim ha'isa, b'chol ha'ir. They had a stone in order the entire city, so therefore mopping would be allowed. Now, the reason of Rabbits, the reason why it would be a problem, Rashi had said earlier, is because the reason why one would do this is you don't want the dust to come up. That's why one would mop the floor, so no dust comes up. So now, the problem of this, so Gemara said, since the whole place had a stone floor, you're allowed to mop, because the chashash was that if you pour it over a dirt floor, if it wasn't stone, if it wasn't tile, then you might end up making it even and be a violation of bone in the house. If it's a stone floor, there's no problem of that. But there are goes there in general. If you have a stone floor, you might come to do and mop even a dirt floor. But if the whole city is all stone, that's how every house is made. So there's no chashash of this coming to. So therefore, the Gemara says, since they lived in a city that the entire city was had stone and tiled floor, you're allowed to mop. So the Gemara says, Amar Taimamai, what's the reason? Amar Rabbanan, what's the reason why? Dilma Asila Shvui Gumos, because the reason why in general you can't mop a floor because you might come to do the same thing by a dirt floor and come to even out the holes. Ha Chalaka Gumos, but in this city there are no holes, there are no dirt floors, and therefore that's why it was allowed. So Rava Tosva Ashkechei LeRavina, the Kometzar Mehavala. Rava Tosva saw that Ravina was having a problem breathing. He was kind of choking on the Hevel, which is understood as Rashi's Shehaya Avik Ola Rabba Hevel. The dust was coming up, and it was getting in the way of his respiratory. For Amulei Mark Shisha Bered Rava Ashkechei LeRava Ashi Dekomet Star Mehavala. And he also, others say it was Mark Shisha, different people at play here, that Rav Ashi was having a hard time breathing. It's Amulei, so he says back, L'savar Lamar, L'had D'tani, do you not hold to the Brisa? Harotza L'Rabbe says, Beis of a Shabbos. Person wants to mop their floor on Shabbos. Maybe Areva Malea Maim, you should bring a little, a jug or a bottle or a basket of water. Rochet Panav, and wash your face in one corner, Bezavazu, in this corner. And the other Bezavazu, go to another corner to wash your hands. Ragla Bezavazu, and your legs in a different corner. And you just, in essence, you're washing your hands and face and feet in different corners, which are allowed. And in Mela, the water is going to fall on the ground and to prevent the dust from coming up. And what happens is, Venimsa by some Misrabbis Meilov, and by you washing your different parts of the body, in different parts of the house, in the end, it's going to have water the entire ground in your house, preventing the dust from coming up. So why don't you do that, Eitzah? So Amalei Lava Daite. So what does Lava Daite mean? Rashi has two pshat. And one is he didn't remember this din. Or number two is he didn't agree to this din. He argued that he didn't think this was correct. Satana Isha Chachma Mirabetes Besa, a smart woman would be able to mop her floor b'Shabbos on Shabbos. That would be allowed. So Rashi explains what she should do. Marbetes Besa Rochetes Ketonos B'Zavazu V'Kosos B'Zavazu. She should wash her cups in this corner, wash her pots in this corner, and different ways of washing her clothing, rather washing the pots in a permissible way of washing, and this way she would have her whole house mopped properly. But you know, nowadays, the Sfirlei K'Rabbi Shimon Shari Afil Chachil. Now that we hold like Rabbi Shimon, it's all permitted. Well, who's Rabbi Shimon? That Rabbi Shimon, the Davar Shein Meskavin Mutter, that which is not intended is entirely Mutter. But Rabbi, it's Ein Meskavin Lahadbik Afar Beguma La'ashos Abayis. When you mop your floor, even a dirt floor, your intention is not at all to even out the floor and cover up the holes. Elo Shelo Yala Avak. Your intention is to just simply prevent the dust from coming up, and therefore it's Davar Shein Meskavin, and as a result, it's going to be Mutter. Okay, there's an interesting Tosfos, just don't have time to do this right now, but those who want to take a look at the Tosfos, Tosfos says that, I'm seeing Ezra says the sound is off. Okay, I'm not sure what the issue is. Okay, I'm going to go ahead anyways, because I think it's on. But we'll see, I'm going to keep going. I apologize if it's off. So anyways, let's go. The Tosfos, the Maskil Shara Zilcha, is an interesting Tosfos about the base of Migdash and the stone floor and using it on Shabbos and pouring water on Shabbos. I don't have time for it right now, but take a look if you have a chance. The Gemara said, now the mission on the bottom of Tadi Heman Aleph says as follows, HaTolish Me'altet Nakav Chayv V'Sheino Nakav Potter. So a person removes something from Atzis Nakav, a perforated pot, a flower pot that has a hole on it, so that is a chayiv. Why is a chayiv? So Rashi explains here, HaTolish Matit Nokuv Chayiv Dehave Kimechuber. When there's a hole, it's as if it's attached to the ground. Diyonik Minakarka Ayideh Nekuv. It's able to nourish from the ground by that hole. It's even though it's not physically attaching, it's still nurturing itself from the ground. It's considered Mechuber Lekarka. And Shemariach Lachluchas Hakarka. It's able to draw up the moisture from the ground, v'afilu hanekav bedofno, even if the holes on the side, says Rashi, that's still able to be meriach, to draw up the nutrients, and therefore it's going to still be considered halachically mechuber, and by detaching something from the flower pot, would be like detaching it from the ground in chayiv. But she'eino nakav, if it does not have a hole in the pot, it's pater, it's considered completely detached from the ground, and will not be violations pater val aser, but not a violation of koter on a deraisa level. And Rabbi Shimon poter bezeh bezeh, Rabbi Shimon felt in both scenarios, since it's not physically connected, even if with a hole, it's not considered mechuber at all, and therefore only pater val aser, but will not be chayiv echatas. So the Gemara now says as follows. The Gemara says that Rami le Abai le Rava, Rami le Rabbi Chia bar Rav le Rav. Tanan, the Mishnah says Rabbi Shimon poter bezeh bezeh. Rabbi Shimon exempts both cases. Alma nakav le Rabbi Shimon kshenu nakav mashri le, that he holds that if there's a hole there, it's as if there's no hole. Meaning there's no difference whether there's a hole or not a hole. They're the same halacha across the board. If it's detached from the ground, whether there's a hole or not a hole, it has the same din as not being attached to the ground. So asks the Gemara Urminu. Rabbi Shimon Omer Ein Bein Nekev L'Shein Nakev. There's no difference whether there's a hole or not a hole, meaning they're all the same. Ella only with respect to L'Hachshir Zrayim Bilvad, only in one area. Says Rashi, what's L'Hachshir Zrayim? Says Rashi in the top here, the L'Hachshir Zrayim has Zrayim B'Socha, those who plant inside a flower pot. Otitz Nakev, if there's a hole in it. Eina Makabel Hechshir Tumah. It's not Makabel Tumah because the din is only food that's detached from the ground is could be Hechshir Tumah, could be susceptible to Tumah. If it's attached to the ground of an apple, and we've discussed in the past that in order for, let's say, an apple to become Tumah, it first has to come into contact with one of the seven liquids. So an apple touches water, and then a person, Tumah, touches the apple, the apple's Tumah. It has to first come into contact with water, wine, and one of the seven liquids. But only if the apple's detached from the ground, but the apple's still attached to the tree and it rains or there's water on it, that will not make it hukshir latuma. So now let's say you've got a flower pot and there's an apple in the flower pot. So Rabbi Shimon says, if there's a knock of it, there's a hole in the flower pot, we view the apple as still being attached to the ground and not hukshir. If there is no hole in it, so then the din would be, it's considered detached from the ground and would be hukshir latuma. So just Rashi says, let's see this inside. Rashi says, again, l'hachshir zroim, hazrum besocha, the plants, the seeds, the food that's inside of the flower pot, atitz nakav, if there's a hole in it, einu makabel hechshir latuma, cannot be machshir tuma, because it's now considered attached to the ground. Usha'einu nakav, if there is no hole, the flower pot is completely independent from the ground, it is makabel hechshir, because it's considered detolashu. So we see that there is a chiluk between Nakuv and Vishenu Nakuv. And Rashi continues, Rabbi Shimon Kamarle, Rabbi Shimon saying this, Vahachi Garcina and Rabbi Shimon Omer and Aim Bein Nakavachu, Dila Rabbanan Ikatuva. According to the Rabbanan, there are many differences between Nakav and Vishenu Nakav. The Ha Mechaiva Nakav Mishum Shabbat, Uptari Vishenu Nakav. So we see either way from here that Rabbi Shimon does acknowledge that there is a chilik between Atav Nakav and Nakav. Meaning from our Mishnah, Masecha Shabbos, he says it's Pater in both cases. There's no difference Nakav and Nakav across the board, not only Shabbos, but across of Kol Tar Kula, but here he acknowledges by the dinam of Tumah, the Hech Shizraim, it is the difference between Nakav and Sheinu Nakav. And the Gemara answers, you're right. The Gemara says, Amar Lei, L'chol Mili Rabbi Shimon Katalish Masher Lei. Across the board, Rabbi Shimon says that which is Atzitz Nakav, even with a hole, is considered Talish. L'chol Mili, what's L'chol Mili? The Shabbos. If it's Shabbos, a perforated pot is considered detached already. Uliknos b'mishich lo b'kesef, to buy metalton you use kesef, to buy karka you use to buy metalton then you do mishich, you pull it, and to buy karka you use kesef. So if you want to buy a flower pot with a hole in it, how do you buy it? So do you have to? Is it like karka and you kesef, or is it like metalton you use mishich? So he says mishich works a hole in it. It's like metalton. And says Rashi for the prizbol, she'eno nichtav ela al karka. When it comes to prizbol, you're supposed to write a certain lien on the karka as a prizbol, a way of circumventing the dinah of shmitas ksafim. You have to write on a karka. So a nak, an atitz nak of a hole in it, according to Chachamim, would be kikarka and would be sufficient. But according to Rabbi Shimon, atitz nak of is detached and wouldn't work. So we see all these cases, and they're nafkaminas. Rabbi Shimon says nak of she'eno nak of either one is considered talish. Except for one area, which is the area of Tumah, the shiny in Tumah, the one area where he agrees there's a chilek with respect to Tumah, the Torah ripsa tara etel zram, the Torah increased the amount of tara with respect to zram. Shenemar al kol zera zeruah asha yizra, there's an extra heter of tara that when it comes to atif nakav, we're going to say but atif nakav we're going to have a heter and that's going to be considered still attached, which means it's still going to remain tahor and not subject to Tumah. So that's the one area of exception. Gemara now says further, four lines down, last word, Boi Mine Hahu Saba Rebbe Zera. A certain elderly man asked Rebbe Zera the following shaila, Shorish Keneged Nekev, if there's a root right next to the hole of the pot. And Mali, Amar Rebbe Shimon, what would Rebbe Shimon say in this case? Would he still say that's considered detached? Or maybe the fact that there's a root there right by the hole, maybe that root is able to draw the nutrients from the ground, and in that case, maybe Rebbe Shimon would agree that's going to be considered Mechuba L'Karka. What would he say in this instance? So the Gemara answers, Amar Lei, Ishik lo Amar v'lo Midi. Rebbe Zera stayed silent, he didn't respond anything. And seemingly the understanding is because he didn't know the answer. So then, Zim Nechada, one time, Ashachay the Yosef of the Kamer, he one time, the elderly man found he was sitting down learning, and Rebbe Zera was sitting down learning, and he said, Omo de Rebbe Shuan Shem Nekev Mechde Tarasa. If the hole is so big where it's going to make the Kli Tar, we know a Kli is a Tame. If you make a large enough hole where it's no longer usable, the kli is no longer kli anymore, and it's just a broken piece of metal, pottery, whatever it might be, and would be tahor. So that's the din he had said. If you just look at Rashi, Rashi says, b'chdei taraso, if you make such a hole in this pot, it now is tahor. Shim nitma, if it was once tame, now it's nitar, b'shvirzu, it's considered tahor with the breaking of this. V'hainu kemotzi zayis, if it's large enough to have an olive pass through this hole. It's not mevsechas kelim, kli charis, ha'asi le'ochlin, shiro kezesim, if it's a kli meant to hold food, and if there's a hole large enough to fit an olive, that will be now tahor. U'mod the Rabbi Shimon behar, Rabbi Shimon agrees in this instance, the chashiv mechuber, then this such flower pot with a large hole to fit a kezayis through, would be mechuber l'karka, cause Ram Shabbosocho, the Sulo Havikli, that's no longer considered clear. So that's what Rabbi Zera is saying. Now the Saba, the old man, heard this, and he said back inside the Gemara, Amrle Hashta Shorish Kineganekiv, if you had a Shorish root right mamish next to the hole of the pot, and Ba'i Minach, I asked you Velo Amrs Lov Lemida, you didn't answer me anything because you were in Safik, well the answer would be, you were in doubt what the answer would be, Nika Bichle Tarasa Mibai, if there was a hole in the Kli, you didn't have a Shaila, you knew a Pasha, that would be fine. So Rashi says that Nika Bichle Tarasa Mibai, Tavale Lesuke Bay, that should have been more doubtful if there's a hole in the side of the pot, Bahanach, the Lav Kenegan Han Nekav, if it's not next to the Nekav. Meaning what? If you have a hole on the bottom, let's say the size of Kazayas, and the Kli is no longer Kli, we have some plants that are higher up, not next to the neck, but different parts of the flower pot. So there, you are so certain that those would be considered attached to the ground. But if I had a shorish, a root mamish next to the hole there, you were not sure about? Doesn't make any sense. If you weren't willing to say that if there's a big enough hole in the pot to allow to consider all the food growing in the pot, even that which is not next to the hole. It would still all be considered karka. Certainly in the case where the root was mamish next to the hole, certainly that should be considered mucha with a karka. That was the challenge against Rabbi Zeira. So Amar Abai comes to the defense of Rabbi Zeira, and he says, V'itmar lahad Rabbi Zeira hachihu ditmar. If he said it, he said it as follows. Umod Rabbi Shimon shimnikev lamata mirvius. If that hole was in an area of the pot that's below the revius line, we know a pot, now there's a certain marker that it can hold a revius. Let's imagine like a measuring cup, for example. So the different lines of it can hold a revius, a quarter of a cup, a half a cup, a full cup, two cups. So if that hole was below the quarter cup line, so then that's when Rabbi Shimon says it would be considered a tahor, because it really has no purpose anymore. If you just look at Rashi, Rashi says, hachihu ditmar. Shimnik of Lamat the Mirvis, if it was a hole below the one quarter line, Shaino Machzik Rivis, it can't hold a quarter because there's a hole now puncturing it. Minanek of Lamata, the Bats Mihacha Lav Kli, that's where it's not a Kli. But if it was above that line, then Einachanami, he would still say it might still function as a Kli and would be Mikabal Tumo. The Gemara now says, Amar Rava, halfway down the Amar Beis here, Amar Rava, Rava says that Chamesh. Midos b'kli charis. Charis, there are five different measurements when it comes to a kli charis. Nikav, we're going to go through each one, the different size of holes, and how it affects the tuma, the tara, and its usage in different arenas. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, chamesh midos b'kli charis. There are five midos when it comes to a pottery, an earthenware pot. Nikav kamotzi mashke, if there's a hole in it that has the ability to have liquid leak out of it. So that's tahor milatame gisra. That's tar mitame gisra. What that means is, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says that tar mitame gisra kolomer im kli shalim hu. If this was a kli shalim, let's say it's a bowl that was made of pottery, the eno nitabrakach, and it became tame, and then you make a tiny hole in it, that does not render this kli tar. It's still kli. Tiny hole like that won't affect it. Aval imhi shemer kli, but let's say initially it wasn't a bowl, it was a broken piece of kli charis. It was very broken, but it was broken enough whereby it was usable still, but it was broken in the first place. So then a small hole, Rashi explains, would render it tahor. About im ha-yashevikli, ha-yaroi l'shamish, but it had some usage, the mekabel tuma, mishin nishbar, when it breaks and has a tiny hole, then it would be considered no longer clean. So that's what it means. It's tar from being a gistra. Gistra is a broken piece of pottery that has a certain use to it. But if it was a mamshe kli shalim, then this the whole of nikav kemoti mashke would not be metahir. So back inside the Gemara again, b'kli cheres nikav kemoti mashke, a hole to allow water to come out. It's tahor minatame gisra. It's tahor from tumas gisra of the usage of broken pottery. However, it's a dying kli who it's still a kli lekadesh bo mechadas. If you wanted to use a kli to collect the water for paraduma for the mechadas, it would still work. This would not affect its status. It would still remain a kli. If there's, let's say, the second mita, nikav kikonis mashke, let's say there's a hole not to allow water to leave, but bigger, where water can now even enter in, right? To allow water to leave, the pressure of water in a cup, a tiny hole will allow the water pressure and weight to push out. But to allow water to go in, you need a larger hole from the outside to go in. So now that's the next level here, that nikav kikonis mashke, to allow water to the knisa, to enter in. That's tar milakadesh bo mechadas. That's now, that's possible from being used as a keli to collect water mechadas for the paraduma. That's big now, and it disqualifies it. However, dain klihu lahakshir bo zraim. It's still considered a kli with respect to zraim, that if you have a hole in it, a pot with a hole of this size and there's zraim growing in it, that's still considered detached to the ground because that hole is not large enough yet. And it's detached to the ground, and therefore, if it were to come into contact with one of the seven liquids, it would be susceptible to tumah. Level three. Nikav kishorish katan. Let's say there's a hole of a shorish katan, which is the next level. It's a little bit bigger than allowing water to go in. So the din here is tar milahach shibazram. Now that's big enough hole to view everything in the pot as attached to the ground and won't be subject to huch shibazram. It's not tallish anymore. However, it's a dying klihu lekaba bozesim. Lekaba bozesim. It's still a kli with respect to being mekabel zesim, and therefore, if you look at Rashi, a dying klihu lekaba bozesim shushir l'tumah bekol kli cheres ha'asi l'ochen stam kol zman shelo yachta l'yironim mekabel dying tumah. So since it's able to hold the olives in it, it's able to still be kli to be mekabel tumah. So if it's an irregular kli. So then the Gemara says the next level is Nikav Kamotzei Zesim. If it now has a hole to allow olives to go through a big a hole big enough size of an olive, Tar Milakaba Bozesim. It's now tar. If the kli was intended to hold olives, it will no longer has no function because the olives are going to just fall out. So it's tar midin that. But the dying kli hu lakaba bo rimona. But if the kli is designated to hold pomegranates, which are much bigger than olives, so then the din would be, it would still be mekabel tumah. And the final and fifth level would be nikav kimotzi rimonim. If it has the hole large enough to allow a pomegranate to pass through, that's tar miklum. That's completely tar, has no purpose at all. If it can't hold pomegranates, it's a useless kli. And vim hukaf tmid psil ad shivchas rubo. So then, we would be surrounded. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Im hu ya mukaf tzmid p'tam p'tzil hu be'ol meis." If it's all meis, ain't tumah nechnesses bo derech nekev umatzil ol akomash v'sochol. So this is again after establishing the five different levels here. So the Gemara throws in this din by because we're talking about kli charis. Kli charis is a unique din here that if it has a seal, a cover on it, it's sealed tight. So the din would be that it prevents any tumah from coming inside until you need a rubo, most of it broken. That's really a sixth din here. So up until now, the first five din we spoke about was just a regular kli with no seal, no cover on it, and depending on the size of it. But then finally, if there's a cover on it, so if there's a cover on it, even though the hole might be the size of a rimon, a zayas rimon, it still is able to protect that which is inside of it until the most of it, most of the kli is broken. Just look at Rashi again. Rashi says, "Vim haya mukaf tamid psil hu ba'ol meis." It's in the ohel of a dead body. Ve'ein ein tuma nechnas. The tuma cannot penetrate into it. Derech nekev into any of the holes, even if the holes are the size of a rimon. U'matzi al komashu b'socho, and it prevents, it protects everything inside of it. Achiv chas rubo says Rashi. The whole kli pasuach ksiv. Derech says kol kli. So derech pesach nechnas. Only through the entranceway tuma. Below derech nikavav, not through the holes, and then that's the last din of this brisa. Maybe let's stop here, and mitzvah Hashem, we will continue this tomorrow, finishing off the parak and beginning the next parak afterwards, the 11th parak tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful day.